Forks and Spoons, Knives and Other Cutlery. I'm your host, Christina.
And I'm Tori.
And this is episode 21 of Cullin' the Shots, the podcast where we reminisce on the good old Twilight days.
Yay!
We are back with another episode this week. I hope this is being uploaded on a Monday because, you know, things happen.
We're in retrograde.
Because Mercury is in Gatorade right now. We had some problems and natural disasters happening this past week while we're recording. So this episode might be released on a Monday. It might not, but you'll get it eventually. That's the whole point of it.
Alice knows when it's going to get released.
Yeah, apparently Alice knows more than that, that we'll find as we talk about what happens in Midnight Sun. Before we actually talk about the book that we've read and the chapters that we've gone through, we have another icebreaker quiz, which is from BuzzFeed, and it's titled "Only someone who's seen the Twilight movies at least three times will pass this quiz."
We've definitely seen it.
The first movie at least three times. Certainly not the rest of them.
No, not the last.
Yeah, not the last one. And the last one, we both watched it for the first time a few weeks ago. Tori, do you want to read the first question?
All right. Where did Bella and Edward first kiss? Bella's bedroom, Edward's bedroom, school, or the forest?
The forest. No, I'm kidding. It was Bella's bedroom.
Yep, Bella's bedroom.
Oh, spicy.
Spicy.
That photo that they, the screenshot that they use, like faces make a perfect heart shape. Do you know?
Very romantic. Yeah, her elbows like all bent. The heart. Did they do that on purpose?
Maybe.
Catherine Hardwicke, you genius.
Cinematic genius. Oh my God. The angle, at least the point, is very, very, and then their heads. Wow. That's a heart.
Yeah, that's a heart.
That is the correct answer caption says both Bella and Edward just couldn't resist. And I'm like, okay.
All right.
Next question. Where did Bella go to save Edward in New Moon? Did she go to Barcelona, Spain, Volterra, Italy, Vancouver, Canada, or Paris, France?
What if it was just Vancouver?
But also, the rest of the cities listed are like well-known cities in other countries, not in the US. And then you have Volterra, Italy, which is like, usually if you hear Italy, it's like Rome or Milan or something like that. But the answer is Volterra.
Oh,
speaking of, do you want to read the next question?
Who was the first wolf to phase after Sam? Jacob, Jared, Paul, or Seth? I don't know.
It definitely wasn't Seth.
No. And it wasn't Jacob either.
I want to say Paul.
I'm going to say Jared.
We'll see. Oh, it was Jared. Well, at least we knew who it wasn't for sure.
Yeah.
I just remember that. I guess Jared was the other, like, second in command or third in command for Sam. The photo that they used for Jared, I'm like, I don't remember that guy's face.
I've never seen that man before in my life.
It also doesn't look like a photo of him. It looks like his face pasted on somebody else's body. Does it?
It really
like,
does.
The angle that
his head looks small. Like, it looks too small. Like,
it's
a
also
real
not angled. Like, I don't want to say in a normal way, but it just looks off.
And the picture's really blurry. That doesn't help.
Okay, next question. Which Cullen surprisingly protects Bella during her pregnancy in Breaking Dawn? Was it Alice, Edward, Jasper, Rosalie, Carlisle, or Esme?
Why is there so many answers on this?
I know. I thought it was only four, and then I kept reading and went, oh, there's more. It was Rosalie.
It's Rosalie.
Rosalie. Although it was a team effort, Rosalie was usually always by Bella's side to protect her.
All right. True or false? Bella punched Jacob and broke her hand after he tried to kiss her.
True.
That's true. Queen.
Next question. Who commands the newborn army created by Victoria in Eclipse? Is it Bree, Riley, Alice, or Victoria?
Victoria runs a thing created by Victoria. She's a one-woman show.
It was Riley.
Yep, Riley.
Riley's last name was Byers? I don't remember that. It says, of course, Victoria did this just to mess with the blind spots in Alice's vision.
All right, lastly, where did Bella and Edward get married? At a church, the Cullen house, Bella's house, or the meadow? What if they got married in a church and had like a big formal wedding?
That would be so hilarious. Funny. But also, I wouldn't be surprised just because of how traditional the actual wedding and the whole process of them getting married ended up working out anyway.
They should have gotten married in a church just so we could get a subplot of Edward wondering if he can go into a church and then like having to like work up the courage to walk into a church.
I want him to have an internal dialogue where he tells Bella that he's afraid that he's going to burn up as soon as he touches the, like, enters the church. But the answer is the Cullen house.
Yep.
And Alice was in charge of it all.
Of course she was. Queen.
I got 6 out of 7.
I got 7 out of 7.
Ooh, it's always the questions involving the wolves that get me. Or that trip us up, and we're always like, I don't know, it might be this or that. It says, you're a Twilight expert. This quiz can't fool the Twihards. Great job.
Yeah, that's what mine says too.
Yeah, so we did our quiz, and now we move on to the bulk of this podcast episode, which is dedicated to part one of Midnight Sun. Yay!
Finally reading it.
Finally! Okay, so the book was finally published back on August 4th, 2020.
That's it? Yeah. I feel like it's been out longer. Wow.
Well, yeah, now a full year. Yeah, it's been a whole year and then some since Midnight Sun came out, which was kind of shocking. It's kind of like 10 years after the last book or after the original Twilight series ended. Stephenie Meyer released Midnight Sun, which is, from my understanding, what happens in the Twilight series, but through Edward's point of view. I don't actually know yet. We didn't read all of it, and I didn't want to spoil it for myself too much by like researching. So I'm under the impression that Midnight Sun is just everything that happens in the Twilight series, but from Edward's point of view. The only thing I remember about Midnight Sun in general, like back when I was really, really obsessed with Twilight and the Twilight series, Stephenie Meyer had released like a portion of the draft she was writing up for this book, and she put it on her website, which was kind of used like a blog in a weird way. But I read that portion, but I have no idea. Like, I can't remember what the contents of it were, but I do remember reading that. And now the full book is out and I'm like, whoa, that's like over 10 years later that she finally put out this information. And so I really couldn't tell you what was on that like draft that she posted a long time ago. I just remember that it was part of Midnight Sun, but
we should find it after we finish the book.
I know I don't want to spoil it for myself now because it might be something important or something in other portions or other parts that we're going to cover.
Yeah.
But similar to when we were reviewing or talking about Breaking Dawn, which we cut up into 4 parts, we're going to do the same with Midnight Sun, mostly because Midnight Sun is also another thick book.
She's a thick one.
She's thick. I picked it up and was like, that's a lot of words. It's a lot of pages and a lot of words. So we decided to cut it up into 4 parts instead of 3. So you're going to get quarters of what happens in Midnight Sun. And for today, we are going to be talking about the first part, chapters 1 through 8. But before we get into the summary, Tori, do you have any initial thoughts or feelings reading the book?
Honestly, it's like, at this point, nothing groundbreaking has happened, in my opinion. It's a little bit, like, I know what's happening. Like, I know what's going to happen. It's nice to get some almost insider information as to, like, what people are thinking through Edward's mind reading. But at the same time, I'm like, this is basically just Twilight up till this point. Like, I know what's happening.
Yeah, for some reason, I had a hard time, like, getting into the first few chapters. Mm-hmm. It's like, so we read chapters 1 through 8 halfway through. Then that's when the story started picking up. And I don't know if it's because like I'm just slowly getting tired of reading so much, or if the story just wasn't as like entertaining in the first few chapters. It was like I'd read so slowly and then suddenly I read really quickly and I finished how many chapters we were supposed to read for this episode. I kind of had a weird feeling that the timeline seemed off. I don't know. Maybe this is me just still thinking in Bella's point of view for the Twilight story, but it just seemed like it was a lot slower in Edward's point of view, if that makes sense.
Yeah, didn't he say he like waited like a month or something trying to like see if his like thirst for her or whatever would die off? Like, that's a long time.
Definitely seemed like many more days would pass until the next event happened, whereas in the original Twilight book, in Bella's point of view, it's like this thing happened and then like the next day another big thing's happened, and I'm like, wait, why is it going so slowly?
Because being a vampire is boring.
I kind of got that feeling that the timeline felt a little off and kind of like slower compared to the pace in Twilight. I think that also kind of ties in with the concept of the vampires because they don't sleep. So everything just seems like an eternity, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So maybe that was done on purpose, like drawing all of the events out for a long time, even though in like human time, it worked out a lot faster than it needed to be. But yeah, that was my initial thought. Did you have any other?
Nope. I'm good.
So chapter one is titled First Sight, and it happens to be Bella's first day of school. Edward is aware of this, but he kind of monitors the situation by reading through all the thoughts in the entire student body, because everyone is really excited that there's a new girl in town. In the beginning, Edward didn't really care much for this new student. He talks about like how boring his monotonous life is and the fact that he has to constantly ignore the thoughts of his like human classmates, and he really only focuses on what his siblings are thinking of, and also keeps like an ear open in case there might be like a potential danger of a student who's is like, oh, the Cullens are weird, we need to investigate on it. That never really happens. It like gets to the point where Edward will listen to what his siblings are saying, so they're thinking it, but then Edward will answer them out loud, which is, I find that a little weird, but that's just how Edward's family dynamic works. So he notes the qualities of his brothers and sisters, and at this point he highlights really strongly that Jasper is like a high risk factor right now. And because of that, Alice is constantly having to keep closer tabs on Jasper. All of her like future vision reading energy is being like aimed towards Jasper to make sure that he doesn't do anything bad. And then when they're in the cafeteria for lunch, this is where Edward first lays eyes on Bella, and he like tries to read Bella's mind, and he realizes that for some reason he can't. And at first he's like, is this girl not thinking any thoughts at all? So he starts reading the minds of the people next to Bella or around Bella, and he realizes that like he can read their minds fine, so he's like, why can't I read Bella's mind? And so because of this curious thing that he's discovered, he resorts to obsessively kind of keeping tabs on Bella through the people that are her around her. And then after lunch, they have that biology class where the famous disgusted Edward face scene happens. So Bella walks in the class and Edward discovers that Bella has the scent trademark. And so this puts Edward on edge for the rest of the class session. Here, he basically spends like, I don't know, I don't actually know if it's an hour class or a half hour class, but he spends the rest of the biology class thinking about all the different ways that he could kill Bella in class. And if he kills Bella in class, how does he deal with killing the rest of the classmates and the teacher in that classroom? What's the best escape route? What he's gonna do? He just thinks about killing Bella this entire time. He realizes that it's a lot more work than it's worth, because he knows that his siblings don't want to move out of Forks, because that just would be really inconvenient, especially because Rosalie and Emmett are really close to graduating from high school in this current lifetime. As soon as the class bell rings, Edward kind of bolts right out of the classroom, and he ends up hiding in his car. For Edward, he reasoned for himself that he didn't have to kill Bella in class. He could just kill her at her own house. And I'm like, okay, sure. I guess that's less to clean up. And then he goes to the office trying to get his class change when he bumps into Bella again, and then unable to keep his cool, Edward runs out and then disappears from Forks for a number of days. And that's what happens in the first chapter. Notes?
I know that we just kind of assume that Jessica isn't the best friend to Bella, but it's like so evident when you see it from Edward's point of view. She's literally just like, she's not even that pretty. Why do people like her? Like, she's being such a bitch. And I was like, I knew it.
We have that impression. And then like you hear or read the thoughts that Edward's reading, and you're like, yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
I love that Angela is just so pure of heart. She's just the sweetest. She's like, Bella seems so shy. She's probably having such a hard time. Love her.
She's like the only decent person, like person with decent thoughts in her mind at this moment. The notes that I had is that I thought it was so funny that Edward will describe Bella as like pale and frail and unexceptional. And I'm just like, that's so funny to me.
I know.
Because obviously we know they end up together, and I'm just like, you thought initially that she was just some pale, frail, unexceptional.
I know. I'd be sick if I like found out that my boyfriend, like when he first met me, was like, I thought you were unexceptional. Yeah. Like, you were just like fine, like average.
You're like, eh, hey, you.
What do you mean?
Right. I'd be like, what the heck? And then even the part how he was just in class thinking about how he's gonna kill Bella.
I know. That's like wild. Like, he was totally like fine with it. He was like, all right, how can I do this the best?
Yeah, he's like, oh, if I kill her, like, she won't have enough time to scream because it'll be really quickly. But then I have to, like, think about how to kill the rest of the people in the class. And I'm like, what?
Very chaotic.
He's like, if I kill the people in the back of the class first, then it'll be a lot faster than me. Like, I don't know. His, like, thought process during that entire session was strange. Very, very strange. I also wrote down that I thought it was funny for Edward to come up with a temporary solution with dealing with Bella in class. He's like, if I don't breathe at all, I should be fine.
Which I don't understand, because I thought they didn't need to breathe. So what is all this, like?
Yeah.
I get that it's, like, uncomfortable, but that's different than, like, needing to breathe. So what's the truth? Do vampires need to breathe or do they not? He's always like,
don't they have to constantly smell things? That's you breathing.
He's like saying that he, like, needs to take a deep breath before he goes around Bella and all this stuff. And I'm like, sir, like,
you don't gotta breathe.
I thought you were a vampire. Like, what kind of vampire are you that you need to breathe and hold your breath like a weirdo?
Now that you bring up the breathing thing, that is true. He talks about breathing a lot, even though I thought vampires didn't need to breathe. So, like, what, why are you breathing so much for?
Yeah, like, they even say that they, like, move their shoulders to make it look like they're breathing, but you're breathing. Are we sure that Edward's a vampire? Like, for sure? Like, I don't know. I'm very confused.
I don't know. I don't even think the rest of them are vampires, if that's the case. Just the fact that Edward said that he, like, reasons with himself that he didn't have to kill Bella at school. He could just kill her at her house. And I'm like, is that really better, though?
I know.
Because word will go around too. And I'm,
she lives in the chief's house.
Yeah.
Like,
if I had to sum up this chapter, it's like, Edward meets Bella, can't figure out why he can't read her mind, and then thinks of how to kill her.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. That's all that happens this chapter.
It bothers me so much that every time he talks about, like, somebody that's in his grade or whatever, he, like, calls them children, except for Bella. Like, she's literally the same age. She's probably younger than some of these people. She's a Queen Virgo. We know she's probably, like, one of the youngest in the class. And this man is just like, all of these children and then this woman in front of me. I'm like, that's a child, sir. Just because you're 108 and, like, you haven't had sex in a long time, buddy. That's a child. Also, why is Miss Cope, like, having to remind herself that Edward is a child?
I know.
She's like, too young. Yeah, bitch, too young. You're an adult.
Like, why is that even a thought in your head?
Oh, I know. God. I literally said that having to remind herself that Edward is, for all intents and purposes, a child is gross to me. Like,
and she works around children. I'm like, that's problematic. That's concerning. That's really bad. Do you have anything else?
My only other note is that Edward mentions that rarely someone will guess what they are correctly. And I just want to know, like, about the situations where people have guessed what they are correctly. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, when in the past have people found out that they were vampires? Is that when the FBI got involved? I need to know.
Is that when they had to suddenly uproot out of wherever they lived at that time and leave to go somewhere else?
Yeah, right?
Perhaps.
I, like, craved knowing why the FBI is involved with the Cullens.
That's super sketch. How do you make that work, man? anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay, so now we move on to chapter 2, which is titled Open Book. Edward takes the rest of the week away from school, and he just runs off to Alaska so he can get away from Bella. And of course, guess where he ends up being near? The Denali clan. Because that is the go-to getaway place for the Cullens, it seems. So while Edward is in Alaska, he was near the Denali family, but he didn't actually, like, stay with them. But even though he was keeping his distance, one of the sisters, Tanya, typically would, like, spy on him and check on him. And this is where we learn that Edward and Tanya had some sort of a history together. So similar to Rosalie, Tanya was surprised that Edward wasn't attracted to her at all. So when she found out that Edward was arriving in Alaska, she kind of mistook that as, like, oh, maybe he changed his mind and he does want me, which wasn't the case of why Edward was in Alaska in the first place. So Edward talks to Tanya, and then after their little chat, he realizes that he does not want to run away anymore. And so he makes his way back to Forks. But he doesn't get to see Bella again until it's lunchtime. Bella gets to the cafeteria. She sits at her usual table, and then she makes her little glances at the Cullen table to see if she can see Edward. Again, Edward tries to figure out what Bella's thinking, but he realizes that he can't. And so he's listening again through through the thoughts of Jessica and Mike, who are usually near Bella. And then Alice assures Edward that everything's going to be fine because she doesn't see a vision of Edward killing the whole class or killing Bella. Edward goes to biology class after lunch, and then he and Bella talk and chat after they finish the lab assignment for that day. This is where Edward reintroduces himself, and then they learn about why Bella moved to Forks. And then Edward makes a note that like Bella's really selfless and that she often takes care of others before her own needs. And then so Edward survives his biology class and he goes to Spanish with Emmett, except for Emmett brings up a memory that like triggers an unpleasant feeling in Edward. And then he runs off to his car to hide for the rest of the day. And that's how that chapter goes. Edward running away, he comes back. And then he runs away.
He's so dramatic.
He really is.
I think it's absolutely hilarious that the Denali women only stopped killing humans because they have an affinity for human men.
Yep. That's
like so funny. Because I would argue that most other people would eat humans because of human men.
That's a point. That's a point to be considered. I started laughing because when Edward's in Alaska and Tanya's spying on him, she like cannonballs into the snow. For what reason was that written in there?
Why did I read that and go, I wish I could do that?
I just didn't see, like, why was that added? Why was that detail written?
Just to show that she can.
They're like, look at this beautiful blonde woman. She can cannonball in the snow, not wearing appropriate clothing for the winter.
She's in like shorts and a tank top.
Yeah, she fucking cannonballs into the snow. I just really love how all the Cullen siblings are literally like, Edward, you need to get over it. That's like the overall message that each of them have for Edward, because he's like, not Edward's losing his mind over, I guess, trying not to kill Bella or trying to figure out what these feelings are for Bella. And everyone's just like, you need to get over it, man.
Why is Emmett low-key like encouraging him to like kill Bella and eat her? He's like, I get it, dude. Sometimes a person just smells too good. No one's gonna judge you that bad.
He's like, I've done it before too. It's okay.
I've been there, man.
We've done it. We've gotten out of it. Yeah, Jasper's like, I don't just kill her. Like, he's like, how is he with the problem? It's just kill her. And Alice is like, Edward, you're not gonna kill her. I didn't see it in a vision. You're gonna be perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. And then like a few pages later, Edward finally says that Bella was sort of pretty, and I just thought that was funny.
She's sort of pretty. She's all right.
The same lines of him calling her unexceptional. Edward being like, yeah, Bella's sort of pretty. I like, this is so funny. This is so funny to me. I'm like, do you love her? Do you like her at all, man?
Yeah, I don't get it. Edward is like so annoying right now. He's like, Bella's not like other humans. How do you know? She's exactly like other humans. You're just obsessed with her, you weirdo. Like,
you're just caught off guard because she smells better than them, apparently.
Yeah, you can't read her mind and she smells nice. That's literally the only difference.
That's the only change in the other humans you've ever encountered.
My only other note I have is that when Edward goes into his car to hide out from class, it says that he puts on a violent CD. And I just want to know, what is he listening to? In my head, he's listening to like Avenged Sevenfold. Like, what violent music is he listening to? I need to know.
It's also funny because like a few days later, or like in another instance when he's in his car, he's listening to, how do you pronounce it?
Debussy?
Debussy? Not the same. That's not the same.
What's the violent music?
I don't know.
Plot twist, it's just like Fall Out Boy or something. Just good Charlotte. He's listening to Avril Lavigne to really get going.
Punk. Punk music.
I should message Stephanie Meyer and ask, please tell me, what was Edward listening to that was violent?
I mean, Midnight Sun is the newest book, so you might actually get an answer. Still fresh. Still fresh off the tree. All right. The next chapter is chapter 3, which is called Risk. We are back with Edward. He has been going on more hunting trips as of late because he wants to keep his thirst in check in order to make sure that he doesn't try to kill Bella at school. On like a trip that he goes hunting, Carlisle joins him. And while they're out looking for blood, Edward tells Carlisle that he might leave again. And basically Carlisle's like, I don't think you should leave, but I'll support your decision anyway. And I also trust that you're not going to hurt Bella. So that's a great supportive dad, I guess. The rest of the Cullen family kind of catch wind that Edward might be leaving. And some of them try to stop him and others are like, do what you gotta do. Alice even says that she and Jasper will leave with Edward if he ends up leaving for a long amount of time. But Edward's like, no, you gotta stay with the family to make sure nothing bad happens. And that's how that hunting trip goes. So all of them go to school as normal and the weather is a little bit slippery for all the cars on the road. And Edward gets to school and he waits in the parking lot until he sees Bella. And Bella's standing at the back of her car. And guess whose car is going zip, zap, zooping down the parking lot? It's time! And like in a very split second decision, Edward decides to, you know, do the very famous stop the car, save Bella thing. And that kind of puts not only the students in the parking lot in a frenzy, but that gets the Cullen siblings all shaken up because Edward basically has revealed this very strange strength in front of Bella. All that chaos happens. They get to the hospital. Bella and Edward are fine. And then Bella starts demanding that Edward tells her the truth about what happened. But before this exchange, Edward goes to Carlisle and he tells him what happened. And Carlisle's like, you did the right thing, son. Saving Bella. Basically, Carlisle wasn't disappointed in him, even though there was that risk of exposing that they were vampires or exposing that there's something supernatural. And then finally, Bella asks Edward why he even bothered to save her if he didn't want to tell her the truth. And Edward just responds by saying, I don't know. And that's how the chapter goes. Bella's like, why did you save me then? And Edward's like, honestly, I couldn't tell you. I just did it. It happened.
I want to know, why does Tyler think that a good consolation after almost killing Bella is taking her on a date? He's like, I gotta ask her out to make it up to her. Like, why do you think you're a prize, sir?
I would not want to be near that person. If somebody tried to, like, almost kill me or almost injured me in a car accident, I would not want to be near them.
I know.
I wouldn't want to associate with them because of how upset that would make me, even if I did, you know, survive that incident unscathed. But yeah, I don't know why he thought, you know, I could make it better.
I know.
By being present. I'm like, no, don't be present. No, leave. Fine. Be absent.
The only other note I have is that Edward mentions that Charlie's thoughts are like partially concealed. They're not absent. They're just like kind of concealed. And I'm like, why?
What does that mean? Like, what does it even mean by that?
It says, I can only make out the tenor, the tone of them. First off, what the hell does that mean? But I'm just like, first off, I don't know what that means. And also, why can't you read his mind? Can you just not read, like, her and her family?
I'm like, is it the whole Swan family that are just unreadable? Is that what you're trying to say?
If you're telling me that if Charlie became a vampire, he would have, like, a really cool power. He would be, like, a shield. The whole family, just shields all around.
I don't understand what he meant by he can't really read his mind.
What does it mean that he can only make out the tone of them? What does that mean? Like, if he's angry or like happy, or
is it just like gibberish but he thinks it's like a concerned voice of gibberish? Like, is that what he means?
Doesn't he like read Charlie's mind?
Yeah, he does. Some of the lines, I don't get it.
What's the truth?
Some of the lines that apparently Charlie has thought are written out in the book, so that's why I was like, I don't get what does he mean. Okay, now we are at chapter 4, which is called Visions, and we're back with Edward again, and he continues to walk across this tightrope of obsession with Bella. Again, the siblings are upset that Edward has gotten himself caught up in this car accident. The general opinion kind of seems that it might be best for Edward to just kill Bella so they don't have to deal with Edward kind of losing his mind over her. And after school, they have like an emergency meeting at home. And all of them are kind of arguing over, you know, should they move out of Forks? Should they stay? If Edward does end up killing Bella, like, how would they clean it up? And like, even more questions revolving around that. And then Alice announces that she has a vision that there's a possible future and it involves Bella being alive. And it involves Edward being associated with Bella in some way. And so Edward reads Alice's mind and he like refuses to believe that there might be a certain future where he's in love or involved with Bella, especially not after all of these thoughts of wanting to kill her so much. And so Edward swears that he's not going to fall in love with Bella. And he decides that if there are choices based off of Alice's current vision readings, then he's going to choose the option that doesn't put Bella in danger. And that's the chapter.
Alice is so cute. She just knows that Bella is going to be her friend, and she just doesn't want her to die because she's going to miss her friend, even if they're not even friends yet.
She's like, can I talk to Bella now?
I know. She's like, all right, can I talk to her?
Can we be friends now? And Edward's like, no, I know.
But, like, could you imagine not meeting, like, a new friend for, like, how long, like, decades, and then finally, like, seeing that you're going to meet your best friend, that she's like,
That's also just, like, I know that Alice's visions, like, the concept of them are also pretty vague, but even Alice being able to see that, like, Edward's going to have some sort of relationship with Bella in the future, that's so strange. I'm like, whoa. Yeah.
And it's interesting, like, how early she saw the vision that Bella would become one of them. Like, it was just a possibility at that point, but she still saw that vision so early. I thought, like, she would have seen it, like, after they got together, but no.
Yeah, yeah. That must have meant, like, maybe that's, like, foreshadowing how strong of a bond Edward and Bella have. But there's definitely a lot of questions with Alice's visions that I have. Just, like, how it works and the boundaries. But I don't know if we'll ever have answers to that because there's a lot of holes. Do you have any other notes?
Just that Esme being so joyful at the thought of Edward and Bella just because Edward would be happy is the sweetest thing. She's like, I don't even care if she's a human and puts my family at risk. My son is happy.
Aw. She's like, my son won't be lonely anymore. And I'm like, aw. Esme and like the next few chapters is like so, so motherly. And I'm like, aw. And now for chapter 5, which is called Invitations. So at school, Edward was surprised to find that Bella wasn't asking any more questions about the car accident, nor was like the whole student body stopped asking about it too. But also Bella wasn't really speaking to Edward at all. Edward starts going on again about not wanting to ruin Bella's future and like wondering why he can't read her mind. And basically he starts to admire everything about Bella's existence. At some point, Edward overhears conversations about the upcoming dance where the girls have to ask the guys out. And so he's curious to learn if Bella's going to go to the dance. And if she is, who is she going with? He overhears Bella saying that she's not going to the dance because she'll be in Seattle this weekend. They fast forward in biology class and Edward greets Bella. And then she replies to him in a very annoyed tone. They go back and forth about what's been going on between their damaged friendship right now. And Bella accuses Edward of regretting that he stepped in to save Bella's life that day of the car accident. So there's more of Edward spying on their classmates' thoughts to see what else Bella is up to that day. And then later in the evening, this is the first time that Edward visits Bella's house because he's worried that she is going to put herself in danger again. And this is like the first of many evenings where Edward straight up stalks Bella. Which, there's notes for that. While Edward is in Bella's room, he watches her toss and turn in her sleep until she randomly mutters Edward's name and tells Dream Edward not to leave. And then this somehow makes Edward realize that he does love her and that he's going to do anything to protect her. And then the next morning, Edward approaches Bella in the parking lot. They have a little chat on their way to the school buildings. He brings up that he overheard she was going to Seattle over the weekend and then asks if he could drive her there, citing that he wasn't confident that her truck could make it. That's what happens. Bella says yes, and he's like, what? And then like the chapter ends.
Edward grinds my gears so much. He's so convinced that Bella is this amazing person and she's good through and through, but there's no way for him to know that. It's easy for you to assume someone has no flaws when all you see is very surface level good things.
And it's like, you can't read her mind, so you don't know what she's actually thinking.
Yeah, like he can read every bad thought that someone thinks, but he can't see her bad thoughts, so he just assumes they don't exist. Like she could have the most hateful heart and just is really good at pretending to be like a decent person.
She kind of does, like, yeah. In Bella's point of view, she like doesn't care about anybody.
No, I know. And like going off that, Edward is like complaining about how Mike has created this version of Bella that doesn't even exist in his head, and how is that any different than what Edward is doing? He doesn't even know this girl, and he literally is making up this entire thing about how good she is and she's so wholesome and loves everybody and will do anything for anybody. No, she's just doing it for herself, I promise.
Bella is just like every other human that you've encountered, Edward, I promise. Really? Yeah, I had like some issues with the whole fact that like, I just don't understand how Edward came to the conclusion that he loves Bella. I'm like, I think you're fascinated by her, but I don't think you love her.
Yeah.
You're just curious because of all these like you know, you can't read her mind, so you don't know what she's thinking, and you think that she's kind of pretty, and so that might add to the mysteriousness of it. But like, I think you're fascinated by her. I don't think you're in love with her yet, though.
Yeah. What if he like never even really loves her? He's just always super intrigued by not being able to read her mind, and he also knows that Alice had that vision.
Mm-hmm.
What if just Alice mentioning the vision was the only thing that like sparked a thought in his head, and then it happened?
Wow, that's like pretty meta. The vision only existing because of a vision. Just goes into a never-ending loop. Yeah, I'm still not sold that Edward is in love with Bella. I'm like, where's the sign? There's no proof. There are no signs that you love her. I do have a note that Edward says maddening in one of the pages, and I thought that was funny.
It's maddening. I think it's so pure that Eric genuinely thinks that Bella wants to go to Comic-Con with him.
Yeah.
She's like trying to get people to leave him alone, and he's like, yes, Comic-Con with Bella, which I read in Jessica's voice, like the movie night with Bella. I was like, Comic-Con with Bella.
The male version of Jessica's Eric Yorkie.
Very similar.
I did think it was like funny that, so obviously Bella is trying to like, you know, help out Eric because Eric said Comic-Con, which is like stereotypically a very nerdy response to say in general. But like, Bella is not the type to be like, oh yeah, I'm really excited for Comic-Con. Nor did I think she was even actually excited about the concept of Comic-Con.
But he thinks he is.
I know, he thinks that she's, you know, excited for it. And I'm like, oh no, Eric. That's not it.
Eric's like debating if they should get a hotel or sleep in their car.
Yeah.
He's so ready.
Like, he really thinks they're going to go to Comic-Con together. And I'm like, no, Eric. She was just saying that because she's trying to be nice.
The only other two notes I have is that at this point in the book, he like states that he knows that he's just as bad, if not worse, as like a peeping Tom, but he goes back on that later and I'll talk about it because it's so annoying. Also, the only other thing is that he just says, I could never be an average boy. And I just thought that was so funny. I could never be an average boy.
I wish I could be a lad.
Just a little lad.
I wish I could be a little lad.
Edward loves berries and cream.
Edward loves berries and cream. Wait, that could work. Because he always talks about how pale Bella is, and then berries are typically like reddish. That could work.
I love that. Bellas and cream.
Ew.
That sounds insane.
Ew, that sounds gross.
That's not an innuendo. I literally mean heavy whipping cream and Bella Swan.
Okay, and then whenever there's a Twilight boys love that'll be the title of it. Yeah, I'm still so bothered by the fact that like Edward is just creeping into her room watching her sleep. That is so fucking weird.
It's even creepier from his point of view. Like, it's weird in like Twilight, but it's like really creepy like from his point of view.
And then just like realistically, like that's illegal. You shouldn't be doing that.
He like goes into the whole thing about like human laws don't apply to me.
But he also down the line in the next few chapters, I don't want to like jump too ahead, but like he tries to say that he's doing it only to protect her. And I'm like, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Chapter 6, it's called Blood Type. I wonder what happens in this chapter. We're going to find out. So today is the day of a biology assignment where they are blood typing and Edward does not go to class for very obvious reasons. So lunch rolls around and Edward decides to sit at a different table instead of the Collins table. And so we have Bella going into the lunchroom and she finds Edward sitting at this new table and goes up to join him after being questioned by Jessica on why she keeps looking for him. And then when Bella sits down at the special table, Edward admits that he's going to stop avoiding her and that he wants to be friends. Bella tells him that she still can't figure out what his deal is, and Edward asks if she could tell him what one of her theories are. The answer to this question is radioactive spiders, which makes Edward laugh. And he simply tells Bella that she should probably stop wondering what he is and says that he is a dangerous person. And then lunch ends and Edward tells Bella that he's skipping biology. He doesn't actually say why he skips biology. He just says that it's good to skip class occasionally. The only reason that Edward knew to skip class that day though is because Alice saw it in her vision, and Alice also skipped class earlier that day. So Edward was like, I'm gonna skip biology too. Which I'm like, how convenient is that? While biology class is going on, Edward hides out in his car again and he's listening to music until he spots Mike trying to carry Bella to the nurse's office. And then in a panic rush, Edward appears near them and he asks if Bella is hurt. He offers to take Bella to the nurse's office, which kind of annoys Mike, but he lets Edward do it anyway, and then he goes back to biology class. And then Bella tells the nurse that she's fine, but the nurse still grabs an ice pack for Bella. And then another student is brought to the nurse's office, and that student has blood dripping on their arm, and Edward quickly tells Bella to leave the room because it would have been bad for the both of them. Edward then asks the nurse if he can take Bella home, and so he drives her to Charlie's house, and they converse a little bit in the car, and then Edward says something about Bella acting more mature for her age. They talk more about Bella's family, her weekend plans, and then Edward leaves Bella asking her to promise him that she would not get into any accidents or put herself in danger over the weekend. And that's how the chapter ends. Woo.
How is Edward just now realizing that Bella is clumsy as hell? He's like, I never realized. There was a point earlier where he like looks at her x-ray and he's like, look at all these healed contusions. How many times was she dropped on her head as a baby? Like, not her just falling, just assumes it was her being dropped. And then he realizes she's clumsy out of nowhere. Like, how do you not see that, sir? She's falling everywhere.
Constantly, even when they first met.
He's literally, like, always, like, half on the ground.
Anytime he sees her at the lunchroom in the cafeteria, she's, like, tripping over the tables, tripping over people, tripping over chairs when they were in biology class. He literally
fell into the biology table.
Yeah, she fell into the table.
And he was just, like, so graceful. Beautiful.
I thought that's so ironic that like anytime he would describe her as like, oh yeah, she's just so graceful and she's beautiful and blah 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 blah. I don't
know.
Meanwhile, she's like falling onto people.
I know. Graceful where?
Breaking private property, probably. I don't know. This is like the chapter that I know that he's down bad for her, but like this is the chapter that I was like, yeah, he's really down bad for her because he talks about her and like glamorizes every action and thing that she does, even though like it's nothing really that special. He's so down bad, man.
I was losing it at what Mike was thinking about the Cullens. He literally says that he bets that Carlisle experiments on all of the kids with plastic surgery. And then he says, that's probably why they're all so white and pretty, which rubbed me wrong anyway. But I was like, that's the best you can come up with, sir, is plastic surgery. That's literally like your best theory is that these teenagers are just getting plastic surgery. That's it.
Edward's like, let me hear one of your theories. And Mike's like, plastic surgery.
Like, what do you think, that she's just getting nose jobs and all of a sudden they're just these like majestic creatures? Like, what do you—
I really don't know, but it doesn't surprise me that would be a thought that Mike would think of.
He's like, that makes sense to me. Plastic surgery.
Also, like, Mike getting mad that Edward offered to take Bella to class because Mike was having a hard time doing it. And, like, yet Mike was getting upset over it. I'm like, you didn't have to let him go. You could have just continued taking Bella to the nurse's office, but you didn't. So, that's on you, man. Okay, chapter 7. It's called Melody. And Edward drives back to the school parking lot and he waits in his car until classes end that day. He notes that Bella's scent still lingered in the car and he kind of lets the smell consume him, even though it's burning his throat. Okay, weird. Edward talks about always wanting to be around Bella, but he knows that it's probably not best for him to attempt to touch her. And then he says that he's never experienced any feelings like this when it comes to relationships. And then also notes that he's only observed it through his adoptive vampire parents and his siblings, but not for himself personally. And I'm like, okay, that's okay. All right, Edward. And then Alice appears because she had a vision knowing that she needed to get keys from Edward for some reason. And so Edward tells Alice that she needs to drive Bella's car to her house from the parking lot. So after Alice does that, they all go back home. And then Edward takes this time to unwind and begins playing the piano. And while Edward's playing the piano, Esme appears or starts thinking that she's so happy that Edward's playing music again because that's her favorite thing. Esme also asks Edward what exactly he's playing. And Edward says that it's an original lullaby. At some point while Edward's playing this lullaby, Alice sits next to him and they like start singing. She starts singing along with the music, which I was like, oh, that's cute. So together they have composed a lullaby. Later that evening, Edward and Emmett go on their weekend hunting trip, but Edward still continues worrying about Bella. And so he tells Emmett that he wants to return home early, but Emmett's like, I'm not going back home earlier than Sunday. So they stay on their trip until Sunday and they get back. And then early Monday morning, Edward returns to Bella's room to watch her sleep, and he worries more about what she's been up to while he was away that weekend. And he notes that she always looks so sad when she's dreaming, and he hopes that she had a good time on the beach trip to La Push. Again, wishes that he could watch Bella sleep even longer that morning. That's kind of how the chapter ends. So creepy.
I know, it's really weird.
She's not even doing anything interesting.
I know, she's literally just sleeping. It's fine.
She's literally just sleeping. The two notes that I have for this chapter. The first one is that I thought it was so suspicious that Edward was using the fantasies that Jessica has had of him, but instead of it being Jessica, he replaces her with Bella. And I was like, that's so weird.
Wasn't he just getting mad at Mike like a chapter ago because he was saying that he just replaces the girls like they're the same? Isn't that what you just did, sir?
Mm-hmm.
He just replaced Jessica with Bella instead of the other way around. How is that different?
It's so sus. I literally put, that's kind of sus.
Yeah, get off your high horse, Mr. Cullen.
Mr. Cullen, get off of your grand piano.
No wonder none of your siblings want to play with you. It cracks me up. He's literally like, nobody will play games with me anymore. Alice, the only one that will play games with me. Like, he's a little, like, 10-year-old kid that is,
Alice
like,
Alice is the only one.
Want to play with.
Alice is the only one who still likes me.
No one wants to play with me.
And then the other note I had for this chapter is that he freaking brought oil to grease the window track so that it won't be as creaky. I was like, that's weird. That is so weird.
Yeah, that's some like psychopath stuff. That's what like Joe and you does. Like, his people's houses as he's like stalking them. That's it's not so okay. Weird.
This is literally like psychopathic stalker behavior, man.
It's amazing to me that Rosalie's hate for Bella genuinely just boils down to her being offended that Edward is attracted to Bella and not Rosalie. She's like pissed that he just like likes this human girl and not her. She like doesn't want him. She's just like, but I want you to think I'm pretty, duh.
I can't believe you don't even think that I'm pretty. Oh my God. I would understand it if Rosalie's intention was that she just didn't want to like have to be uprooted out of Forks and like have to start a new life again. Because she, I don't know, I'm assuming she likes living in Forks. But no, you find out that the reason that Rosalie is very like upset and constantly being mean to Edward is because she just doesn't like the fact that Edward doesn't think that she's attractive and suddenly finds this human to be more attractive than her.
I get that she's supposed to be like vain, but they like write that as her sole like character attribute, which is weird because I don't think that's how it would be in reality.
Mm-hmm.
Like if she was so vain that she couldn't do anything and get a hair out of place, she wouldn't be a mechanic. Like, she's literally such a badass woman. And I think it's like so fucked up that Stephenie Meyer wrote her to be such a vain, blonde, dumb Barbie, it seems, you know?
But it's like also strange because when you read or when you learn about Rosalie's backstory, she does talk about a lot of the fact that she was just so pretty, even when she was human and like wanted. But like, I don't know, it's... I still don't get that impression that like she only cares about herself kind of thing in her backstory. It's only when she's being like observed through other people that they like try to force this. Oh, Rosalie only cares about.
Yeah, like, sorry, she's pretty, dude. Like, what do you mean? Also, I don't understand, why would Emmett believe Edward when he was like, oh yeah, I don't know why Rosalie's upset. You can read her mind. How would you not know?
Yeah, what? I noticed that too. I was like, you're purposely saying that because you don't want to like talk about it. You don't want to let Emmett know. That's why you're lying to him.
My only other note is that part where Edward is like going through all the dangerous things that Bella could encounter. He's like, fires and robbery and disease and all. That's just me like going about my daily life. I could leave my house, but what about dying? That might happen, so maybe I should stay home.
You're like, what if there's a natural disaster?
Literally, I was reading this and I was literally like, oh, because I was like, why is this me just being anxious about life?
Yeah.
He's like, fires, earthquakes, tornadoes. Have you watched the news and seen the kind of things that go on? Burglaries, homicides. And I'm like, I know, right? It's crazy. Why are me and Edward like anxious about the same things? He's like, I gotta protect Bella. I'm like, I gotta protect myself, dude. People are crazy
outside.
I just like felt uncomfortable that I related. He's like being creepy and stalkerish. And I'm like, dude has a point, though.
Yeah, but you're thinking about yourself. He's voicing his concerns for another being, for another person.
I don't want
to
die.
Meanwhile, he's like, I don't want this person to die, and I need to stop that from happening in whatever form that takes.
Oh, Alice working on fashion designs for Rosalie is so iconic. Like, imagine having a sister that just, like, made all of your clothes and just designed all of your clothes. That'd be so cool.
That is so cool. Alice seems to be a very cool gal.
Yeah. And I like knowing that she's actually like a designer. Like, she doesn't just style people. She literally designs the clothes. Okay, bitch.
I mean, she certainly had the time to learn the whole.
Yeah.
The whole ins and out. She could do anything at this point. She's had enough time to learn.
I think it's interesting that the girl who fixes cars and like all she wanted was to be a mom. And she's the one that's considered vain, but not the one that's like super into fashion. Not that fashion is vain, but that would usually be seen, especially in 2005, as being like the vain one. You know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. The like characteristics of these characters and how they're like portrayed in like their stereotypical ways. I'm like, oh, well, you also have this character that could fit that description. And yet they're never viewed in that kind of way.
I feel like it's because they're written very stereotypically off how they look. Like, Rosalie's a blonde bombshell. Of course she's going to be vain. And Alice is so quirky and cute. Of course she's just going to be like fun and bubbly. And
well, even like Emmett is like written off as this very big, bulky, kind of dumb dude. A himbo is so good.
Yeah, we love himbo Emmett. We also love in this chapter, Emmett tells Edward that Mrs. Goff is probably thinking that Edward's on drugs because he's been so erratic. I'm like, I love that this man just says anything that comes to his head. He's like, a thought must say it.
Man, the fact that I realized that Emmett is a himbo makes so much sense now.
He really is. He would like come up to you and be like, got a bag of eggs. You want one? She's like so dumb.
Bag of hard boiled eggs. And I'd be like, oh, can I have one? Twirls hair. Oh my God. Can I have one?
Sharing eggs with Emmett.
Okay. Our final chapter for this section of the book is chapter 8, which is titled Ghost. Edward doesn't go home right away after he's done watching Bella sleep. And for like the next few days, he only really goes home for like a short amount of time, so Esme doesn't worry about him. So he continues spying on Bella at school. And sidebar note, the reason that Edward and the rest of the Cullens aren't at school right now is because it's like really sunny in Forks, mysteriously. So when it's really sunny, they don't go to school. Anyway, so Edward's spying on Bella at school, and he observes more of Mike's attempts to speak to Bella. And in a weird way, he starts to respect him for that persistence. Mike tries to ask Bella out, and then Bella immediately declines. And then she cites that it would hurt Jessica, and Mike should just ask her out instead. And this kind of made Edward upset. And he basically says that none of the guys deserve Bella because they're all the same. And I'm like, okay. All right, Edward. Later on, Edward would learn that Bella is going to be taking a girls' trip to Port Angeles. And so he also starts to plan his own trip so he could follow them in order to, quote, protect Bella from any possible dangers. And then school ends. Edward follows Bella again to her house. Still keeping his distance, Bella decides to take a blanket out and lay it on the grass so that she could read. And Edward's just kind of watching her from the trees. That's not creepy at all. Eventually, Bella falls asleep. And then again, Edward is watching Bella sleeping from up in the trees, paying close attention to her body movements and her sleep talking. And then Charlie gets back home from work, which wakes Bella up. And then Bella tells Charlie that she's going on a shopping trip and also says that she's going to be waiting for Jessica to pick her up. So for Edward, he realizes he has more time to wait before also leaving for Port Angeles. In this like waiting time, he decides to go home. And he finds that Jasper's guests, who are Peter and Charlotte, are at the house, except for they're also preparing to leave. So the whole time Jasper had guests over, Edward was like barely there because he was obsessively hanging out with Bella to some extent. So Edward goes to play piano for a little bit. This makes Esme really happy. And all of the Cullens knew that Edward was planning to follow Bella to Port Angeles, and they kind of had some like negative reactions to it. Alice assures Edward that Peter and Charlotte are going to be traveling to Seattle, so they're not going to cross paths with Bella in Port Angeles, which was supposed to help him relax a bit. After Peter and Charlotte leave, Edward gets back into his car, and then he starts driving to Port Angeles, and that's how the chapter ends. the end.
Honestly, my notes are just once again being annoyed at Edward. Mike is talking about how Mike is so selfish that he's just like blind to others, and Bella's so unselfish and she sees everything. But how do you know that she sees everything? You don't see what she's seeing. He's like projecting so much onto this teenage girl that he knows literally nothing about. He's like barely spoken to her and he thinks he knows her completely. Like, you don't know her. Leave her alone. Leave that little girl alone.
Leave that child alone, sir.
She's like about 95 years young for you.
My notes are literally me laughing because Edward is just watching her from the trees. When she's at school, he's watching her from the trees. When she's on the lawn, he's watching her from the trees. Like, that is so strange.
Yeah, that's creepy. I didn't know that's a worry that I need to have, but now I'm scared that a vampire fell in love with me and is watching me from afar all the time.
Oh man, I kind of want that. The last note I had for this chapter specifically is the fact that when the family knew that Edward was going to Port Angeles to follow Bella, they all kind of were like, Edward, this isn't healthy. This is weird. It just gets me that the whole family, if you like combine the responses, are kind of under the same impression that like, it's just weird. Like Edward's actions and like his thought process thus far since meeting Bella have been just so strange.
This is when Edward goes back and he's like, I'm not like a mom or anything. I'm just protecting her. Sir, you literally just admitted that you know that you're being creepy like a peeping Tom. You're just trying to make yourself feel better. He thinks he's like the exception for everything.
Oh no.
Like, I don't understand. When he like compares Jessica and Bella, it's not wrong because he's doing it, not Mike. And when he's like doing all of this stuff wrong, it's okay because he's not a creepy peeping Tom. He's trying to protect her. Okay, whatever, weirdo. No,
it's still, I don't think weird. It's still weird. It's still creepy. I think the thing that also makes it obviously not good is that like, it just seems like Edward is not allowing Bella to have her own sense of privacy. Like, he's just always spying on her. And I'm like, literally
always.
You violated her ability to have privacy.
And he's like, and I'm respecting her privacy. To what extent?
And I'm like, you're really not. You're watching her.
You're like in her room reading like what books she has beside her bed. That's not giving her privacy.
He's like observing her body, wondering why she has certain marks on her. Like, that's, you're not, you're invading her privacy. It's strange and it's wrong and it's creepy. And do you have any either final notes for this or just notes for like this section in general?
The only other thing I have for this chapter is that it's mentioned that Maria, the vampire that changed Jasper, once found them when they were in Calgary. And it says, it had been an eventful visit. We had to move immediately. What happened? These are the stories I want to know. What happened in Calgary that made them have to leave so immediately because of Maria? I have to know.
I mean, she probably started creating a vampire army again.
They're like baiting all of these little side stories in my face. They're like, here, you want a little side story? No! You know, you'll never get any more information.
You want a little treat?
I'm like, please, just a morsel of backstory.
Us being like, please give us an interesting side story. And then it's ripped off. It's ripped away from us. I don't know why this is. And it like doesn't help because you're left with more questions.
Yeah. Like, why are you introducing these things if we don't get a resolve? I need to know. I think we need to just take all of these side stories and write our own stories off of them.
Ooh.
Maybe just like, what do we think is gonna happen?
We will fill in the blanks. Hey, do you have any final thoughts for this? Like, I don't know, just like what we've read so far.
I hope it speeds up a little more just because there's not any new information. I hope that like something happens that's like a little bit of a revelation. Like, we're getting some new information, but I'm like, I want a whole like different part of the story. Like, this is just the same story we read.
I wonder if we're going to be able to learn more about what Edward was up to when he was away from Bella in New Moon.
I don't know if that's in here though. I like don't know how far this goes.
I literally don't know what else goes on in Midnight Sun because I haven't read it and I didn't look for like reviews or spoilers online because I don't want to spoil it for myself. So I don't know what we're going to read about in the next few chapters. That about wraps up this week's episode. Thank you for listening. Remember, you can tune in every other Monday as we fall right back into our Twilight obsession like it's 2008 again.
You can find Call in the Shots on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and your usual podcasting platforms.
Come sit with us next time at lunch for more of our sparkling personalities. Bye. Bye-bye.
We say bye. Go away.